Last night, Father Saunders and I, yesterday evening, got to take the altar boys of the parish to a Nationals game as a way to show appreciation to all they do in serving our masses, of working in serving our liturgies here, of helping them make them so reverent and beautiful. And at the end of the game, we were happened to be able to win with a walk-off with a hit by Tony Rendon, Tony Two Bags. And afterwards, the crowd started to chant MVP. MVP, wanting to give that honor to Tony for having won us the game, of giving us that walk-off victory. Well, Jesus today summons us to a deeper appreciation of what brings true honor, of what makes a person truly great. That, as you may imagine, what the world considers great and honorable is rather different from what God thinks and sees. Let's look at this gospel in three parts and discover its paradoxical vision. That the Lord is at a banquet and notices the people there are vying for seats of honor. That in response, he gives the following teaching. Of that when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at a table in place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host who invited you both may approach you and say, give your place to this man. And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take a lower place. That what the Lord is really reminding us of is that at former banquets, it is the host who determines where we sit. This is most common at wedding receptions, where the seats are assigned by the couple, by the family ahead of time. For someone to walk in and sit at the head table reserved for the wedding party is both rude and pompous. That the polite and expected thing is to report to the entrance table, to receive a table number, and graciously take your seat there. And of course, the banquet that we're invited to is the heavenly banquet in God's kingdom. In that kingdom, God has a place for us, but it is God who assigns each his place. Recall that when a dispute arose among the apostles of who was the greatest, Jesus responded saying to them, I assign to you as my Father assigned to me a kingdom that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Or we can think of another time when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, approached Jesus asking him for a seat at his right and his left, the places of honor. That Jesus goes and responds, but to sit on my right and on my left hand are not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Perhaps we could also think of St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian in our church's history, of what happened in his own life, that he was traveling from place to place, and was expected to stay at a particular monastery for the night. A dinner was planned in his honor because he had become so famous in his time. One of the monks of the monastery was told to go gather the food, the other materials for the feast, and to take someone with him to help out, to gather this great feast about. And so he went out and he grabbed a large, strong-looking friar who seemed to be loitering around the entrance to the monastery with nothing to do. The friar went along quietly, helping as asked. And when they returned sometime later, they discovered that the monastery was in chaos. That Thomas Aquinas had arrived, and then he had seemingly disappeared, and no one knew where he had gone. The guest of honor. They had lost Thomas Aquinas. Well, the monk who drafted that loitering monk, that strong, large-looking friar, discovered that he had actually drafted the guest of honor. He had drafted Thomas Aquinas. And when they asked Thomas Aquinas why he had gone with the monk, he said simply that the fellow had asked him, that what others thought of him, Thomas didn't regard himself as anyone special. He realized simply that he was a servant of God. He realized that our places are determined by God, that many miss this point, like to assign themselves places of honor and give in places in God's kingdom. But in the end, that right belongs to God. That some go through life resentful, that they're not as rich and as powerful as others. That some may wish they're taller, thinner, smarter, more attractive. that they're jealous of what they see as advantages of others. That we need to be very careful here. That it's not for us to determine what is best for us. That it's not for us to assign our own seat. That just because we think it is better to be rich than poor does not mean that it is so. That the Lord warns how difficult it is for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. So being rich isn't necessarily the blessing that we might think it is. That it's for God to decide what is best for us. That riches, power, popularity, good looks are all things that tend to root us in this world. That they're not necessarily blessings. That having a good job like someone else's, a family like someone else's, or talent like someone else's, may not be what is best for us. God decides all of that. That He gives us the talents and blessings as well as the burdens and challenges. He knows what is best for us. So don't just walk into God's kingdom and seat yourself. Check in with the host. Find out from Him in terms of your seat. That He's got just the right one for you. That Jesus was noticing how they were choosing places of honor at the table. That in effect, He was struck by how people perceive honor and how they vie for what they think is honor. That they want to impress others and be thought of as important. But remember, this is God's banquet. The qualifications for the seat of honor are very different from those necessary for worldly honors. That in the world, we are impressed by things like brawn, beauty, bling, and bucks. That we're impressed by big cars, big houses, big hair, a big entourage. That when a limo pulls up, with all eyes turned to watch it. That the popular, the powerful, the glitterati, the game changers emerge to flashing cameras, thunderous applause. These are the things that we notice. These are the things that draw our eyes. But what about God? That as God looks around the banquet hall of His kingdom, what draws His eyes? Who draws His eyes? Well, Jesus provides an answer in many places in His lifetime. That He goes and says, "Rather let the greatest among you be like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who do you think is the greater, one who sits at table or the one who serves? Is not the one who sits at table, but I am among you as one who serves." That the Son of Man served His 12 apostles at the Last Supper. The Son of God did that. So back to our question. The banquet hall of God's kingdom, who catches His eye? Is it those at the head table? Is it those on the red carpet behind the rope line? No. If we apply God's awards, we see that those who catch God's eye are not even at the table. They're waiting on the tables. Those serving. Those back in the kitchen and washing dishes. The lowly and the humble. The servants of all. That's who catches God's eye. To go back to Thomas Aquinas, one day he had the honor of dining with King Louis of France, the St. Louis. It was a large gathering, and Thomas, quite as usual, was being ignored by all. When suddenly he pounded his fist on the table and shouted, "And that will settle the heresy of the Manichees." Imagine that. He's there in the presence of the king and just goes, pounds his fist on the table, shouting out loud. That apparently he had gotten to thinking and was thinking about great theology. That the assembled guests naturally were taken aback by what he did. You didn't behave like that in front of the king. But King Louis, on the other hand, simply sent for a writing desk and paper, pen, and ink. Said Thomas should be able to record his ideas as soon as possible, lest they be lost. Here's the paradox of honor in God's kingdom. It's not about being powerful in the worldly sense. God is not impressed by the size of our house, car, bank account. Our popularity does not impress Him. It is our service, our humility, our love for others that catches His eye. The seats of honor, the places closest to God's heart, are for those who serve. The prescription is clear. Jesus instructs us that when you are invited, go and take the lowest place. So when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position. Come sit at my right or come sit at my left. Have this place of honor. It has been prepared for you." That with all this adds up to that, if we want to be great in the kingdom of God, then we had better become a servant. That Jesus says that we should take the lowliest place, that we should serve before we sit. That what makes a person great in God's eyes is serving. That the greatest thing about us is not our fancy house, our cars, or what jobs we have, how many friends we have, especially how many friends we have on like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever there is out there. That it's that we serve. That we are great when we identify with the lowly and humble, seek to serve rather than be served. That we are great when we use our wealth, our power, our talents, our abilities to build up the people of God, to extend His kingdom, to build up the church, the body of Christ. That even things we do for which we can be paid can be service, providing that serving is our primary motivation. That Jesus then adds, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That what this amounts to is a complete change in this way we see what is great in the world. That Jesus is giving us more than just a simple moralism of being generous to the poor. He's offering us a new vision of how to be great in His kingdom. That we need to run, that we ought to run to those we can serve. Because it is those that we can serve, other people, that give us that ability to serve. Having those around us that need help from us. That the greatest honor is serving others, especially the poor and afflicted among us who cannot repay us. That Jesus gives us this challenge this week to go out and serve others, to say hello to those maybe we would not say hello to treat them with the respect of their human dignity. That He goes and tells us, "For the greatest among you is the servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." Yes, we are called to serve before we sit in any place of honor at God's banquet. But in doing that service, we will be given that place of honor. Jesus will call us forth from that lowly spot, telling us to come forward to a higher place, to sit at His right or at His left.